Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, we're all set.
Yes, thank you.
My job is also to manage the chat. So I'm going to delegate that to somebody. Mary, I hope you can help me. Maybe
yes,
Aaron.
I'm watching you here too.
So that way I can help out.
I can do the chat, Susie. This is Rachel.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Blanca. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and read this public comment that we received. This is from Francisca Salcedo. And I don't know the school site. As a parent and community member, I oppose the district's new grading system because it will mean less learning opportunities and accountability for all students, especially for students named under Title I regulations. Instead, these funds should be used to provide more services like tutoring, school psychologists, nurses, and librarians. Also, parents of these students really need basic computer and English skills. I strongly urge partnerships with local community colleges and continuing education centers to provide these services to parents, as well as meaningful career and job skills to our high school students. Thank you, Francisca Salcedo. Do we have any other public comment at this time?
No, not that I can see.
All right, excellent. Oh, we do have Gina.
Oh, you're okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
I'm good. Yes.
Hi, I'm Gina Smith. I'm with Kumeyaay Elementary. I'm actually on the SSC. This is my first year participating. A couple of comments. First, I wanted to comment that I did submit public comment via the email address that was posted on the agenda or on the notice. The DAC public comment at sandy.net, and that email was bounced back to me. So I don't know if that is a valid email address, because that was an email that I had provided some other participants who were planning to attend.
Before the meeting started. Thanks for bringing it up. It was something that had been established free new webpage, and as we were beginning to explore going into the Zoom format, and we ended up not going down that direction. There is the dac.sdusd@gmail.com, which is on the DAC webpage, and that is monitored. So sorry for that confusion, but you definitely can reach us in that manner as well.
Okay, so I'm sure there will be other public comment coming that way, coming your way. And then I did email that was bounced back. I just wanted to make comment that I had attended the parents. I saw that Parents as Partners was on the agenda for today, and I attended the first Zoom meeting on October 14th. And just wanted to comment that I was really astounded at the lack of information that was made available to parents regarding reopening plans. And the staff knew had very minimal information about future plans. And then also wanted to comment that distance learning has been the only option available to our children at this point in time. And just wanted to comment that it's quite alarming that it's taking this long for the district to come up with any options for those who are ready to get back into the classroom. So I'm just asking for the district to have a sense of urgency to get our kids back in the classroom. I think the focus of our meetings should be to figure out how to reopen our schools, and that all financial planning and funding should stop at that point to get our kids back into the classroom and to provide options for those who are ready to return to school and those who want to remain with distance learning. So that's my comment. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And we've got that noted. We have a comment from Denise Rogers as well. I don't know if Denise would like to. Here we go. I think you are.
Yes.
Good. There you go.
I just unmuted myself. I'm representing Stanley Middle School, and I also have a daughter in high school. And I have found that with these Zoom meetings that more parents, we had a record number of parents attending open house and parent night and reaching out to to teachers. And I'm wondering if the district would consider holding more meetings via Zoom once all the tech issues are figured out, which makes it easier for some parents, especially working parents, to attend. It's sometimes just difficult to get to, say, a district or a site after work, and then we can have this input that we're having here tonight via Zoom.
Opened up a lot of doors for us. Sorry, Susan.
Mary, can you hear my, we have Michelle Woodhouse.
Yes.
Thank you.
I wanted to just reply to Denise quickly.
I think
it has definitely opened up a lot of doors for many of us as far as access. Some of our limitations are directly linked to ed code, which is a little bit out of our hands, but we also know that we're all experiencing the same thing. So we'll respond as best we can within, you know, our legal parameters, but I think that we all see the value in this and want to support.
So that you're going to look into it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, we've been working on trying to get some sort of electronic means to do these types of meetings for a long time. And so with the utilization of Zoom for our DAC meetings, it's really increased our participation. So it's something that we'd all like to see continued. And, the only reason why we're able to do this is because of an executive order from the governor. So I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to continue this, whether it's through different means, but electronic voting has always been a no-no for both SSCs and DAC. So we're really trying to make sure we can provide this type of feedback to the state. Because they are the ones who govern ed code. So for all of the appeals to continue Zoom meetings and electronic means of voting and participation, I would encourage everybody to email the California Department of Education.
Okay, that was my next question. Should we email someone? Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Our district has absolutely no control over that. It is all ed code, and that is governed by the state of California. So, and I am, for one, I'm totally behind it because I think participation is key in all of this process. And so I want to make sure everybody can have the opportunity. And this is a huge way to beat those barriers. So, thank you. I think we have, I don't know if we have,
we've got all kinds of
other public comment. I know we don't have a whole lot of time. Woodhouse.
Yeah.
Is
there. Hi, I'm Michelle Woodhouse, and I'm from Torrey Pines Elementary School. I'm on the SSC there. And I wanted to echo the public comment about holding these Zoom meetings. It's making it much more accessible for our community to participate on a more regular basis. So I appreciate that being implemented, and thank you for the advice on contacting the state. So we'll be doing that. And I also wanted to just say in the public comment that I absolutely, as a parent of a second grader, I absolutely empathize with perhaps the challenges that we are all experiencing in very different ways with online learning in the school district. I just also wanted to go on the record and say that I do support the science-based learning that's phased and led by the experts and guidance from UCSD. So I know that it may not specifically be super, super relevant to DAC, but I also wanted to share that perspective here as well. So that's also on the record. I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see any other requests.
Susie, I was also emailed a request. I forwarded it to the doc, but I haven't heard it read. So can I read it?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So it says, I attended the meeting of the San Diego Unified School District's Parents as Partners on October 14th. Here are my related comments that I would like to have addressed during the doc meeting on October 21st. My three kids, two elementary, one middle school, attend Mount Everett Academy. Our school is an independent study program and atypical school. It has small class sizes, such as 9 children in kindergarten. The students meet their elementary teachers 3 hours a week. There is a substantial schoolyard, and there are no lunch breaks since the size and operation of the school make it perfect, the perfect school to test the reopening. Why wasn't it considered to be part of the phase 1 elementary students reopening? 2, many of the private schools have been open for the full-time lectures as well as after school care since September with minimal or no changes. What is the reason why our schools are not reopening? 3, why doesn't San Diego Unified provide waivers to be signed for students that would like to have an in-person lectures and provide extra PPEs for teachers that will be in the classroom? There still could be the online option available for those families that wish to opt out of the in-person option. 4, many students are suffering from psychological issues due to the closure. The reopening of the schools have been 100% endorsed by the Pediatric Society of California as per our pediatrician, as well as the state. Please reopen the schools as every child has the right to learn and this right has been taken away from the people that can't afford private schooling. Thank you, Nazee Shaheen.
Thank you, Nazee. I don't know if you're on right now, but thank you very much for submitting that comment. The district's plan is listed in the board docs, and we actually did do last month at the DAC meeting, we did go over the learning plan. So I recommend taking a peek at that. And any comments you have, please send them to lcap@sandy.net. And that's the best way to provide feedback on the learning continuation plan or the learning. Thank you, Learning Continuity Plan. It's another acronym. All right, so let's go ahead. My computer died, but I'm trying to pull it back up. What do we have next on the agenda, please, Mary?
Introductions,
all right. This is where I get to stop talking and I get to let other people talk. So I think at this point, I'm not sure how many of our resource teachers that we have on the Zoom with us, but it would be excellent if I could have you all address or introduce yourselves by area. Maybe we can start with area 1.
Hi, good evening. My name is Daria Gutierrez. I support area 1, which is Point Loma Cluster, Sarah Cluster, and Lincoln Cluster.
Thank you, Dario. Area 2?
Hi, I'm Rachel Tarshis, and I support Area 2, which is Mira Mesa Cluster, Morse Cluster, University City Cluster, and the Claremont Cluster.
Erin Easter, I support Area 3, which is Kearney Cluster, Mission Bay Cluster, and Hoover Cluster.
My name is Adriana Rivas Quesada, Area 4 Finance Resource Teacher, supporting Patrick, Crawford, and Scripps Clusters.
I'm the last one. My name's Fred Hilgers, and I do Area 5, which is the San Diego High Cluster, the Madison Cluster, the La Jolla High Cluster, and I also cover Area 6, which is all the high schools.
And we also have our admin assistant, Blanca.
Hi guys, I'm Blanca Salcedo. I'm the admin assistant for financial planning, monitoring, and accountability. And anytime you guys need, you can just call the office and the messages go to me and I direct them to wherever they need to go.
Thank you, Blanca. And our fearless leader, director.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Tom Liberto, the director of FPMA. And I have the wonderful pleasure of leading this team that's many of already introduced themselves to you. As Fred said, we have a vacancy, the Area 5 resource teacher. That's because our very own Mary Johnson was promoted to the program manager over private school services. So we're working to reorganize. We're very, very happy and pleased with the model of having a resource teacher for every area, but it's going to be some time as we work through that process to identify and reorganize ourselves. But it's great to see everybody tonight. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Tom. And I am thinking we also have Deirdre Walsh, perhaps online. Maybe. She'll be joining us later. She's not here already. Deirdre, is that you? She may not be on the screen. We also have Deirdre Walsh, who is the director of charter schools, who will be doing a presentation later today. And we have our fabulous interpreters, Kathy Figueroa and Rodolfo Valentin. Thank you very much for your assistance. And we'll go ahead and review our notes from Jean's.
We have Pamela King and Teresa Liskowski in attendance.
Thank you so much. See, it's very hard when we're not sitting in a large room where I can make eye contact with all of these fabulous people. So I'll go ahead and let them introduce themselves. Teresa?
Teresa Liskowski, Instructional Support Officer with Family Engagement. Thank you.
And Pamela King. Thank you, Susie. Pamela King, Family Engagement Program Manager.
Thank you both for being here. And we'll go ahead and move on to our review of our notes. We did not have a quorum for our September 16th meeting. So at this point, we are reviewing, and there is vote required. But if you do notice anything that might need to be changed, please do let us know in the chat.
And I will place the link there now as well.
Thank you. And all of this information is also available to you. If you did not receive the email with the links, I believe at this point we can go on to SanDiegoUnified.org.
Actually, every link that I'm posting in the chat takes you straight to board docs. So everything is up fairly consistently before the meeting. Sometimes we have a couple of surprises or late arrivals, but generally everything's up there.
Excellent. So we'll go ahead and direct everybody there for all of your agenda and minute needs. And then we will go ahead and move on to our approval of our February 19th minutes. And I am hoping that we have quorum that will be verified later via chat. So I believe we're doing another poll.
Yes, we are. Now here's the test. All right. I'm going to launch the poll. We got number 2 going. Here you go.
All right, so please let me know if you approve. I'll go ahead and take the first yes vote as a motion to approve and the second as a second. We're gonna have to rewrite like Robert's Rules of Order for Zoom meetings now.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Who's signing up for that? Not me.
We'll go on.
All right, so we'll let that go for just a moment for everybody to get a chance to plug some things in. All right, and Mary went ahead and put the minutes in the chat if everybody needs to take a peek at that. If you aren't receiving emails from the DAC as a reminder, or I even get the phone calls, please make sure that your principal has the most updated email address for you. So we make sure that that gets on the roster, because that is the way that the district office is able to identify all of us as SSC members. And everybody who's a member of your SSC receives an email with this meeting reminder. All right, so we'll go ahead and move on. As everybody knows, every year we establish a, fabulous.
There you go. All right. So I'll stop sharing. Oh,
that's so exciting.
I know.
So instant data. All right. As an SSC member for a very long time, I get very excited by data. Pardon me. We are going to go ahead and establish a election committee, because we do elections for our officers every year. And part of our bylaws, which is available to you on the DAC website. And you'll have to forgive me. I know that the DAC, or at least the San Diego Unified School District website, has changed a little bit. It's gotten a little bit easier for us to use since we are since we've started the transition. I know in the beginning it was a little rough, but if you go to the,
I'm going to go there now, Susie, and I'll put the link in also.
Do you mind sharing your screen and showing us all how to get there?
That's a great idea. All right. Thank you. Let's go back to the main. Okay, here we go. Okay, let me move the chat out of here. Okay, so here we are, sandy.net. If you go to About, District Board Committees, District and Board Committees, you'll see quite a few of us here. Scroll down a little bit. Here's the District Advisory Council. Now, this is where it's organized a little bit differently than it has been in the past if you used it a lot. But you'll see many things, and it's actually, here's, I'm going to start here really fast for contact information only because this came up earlier in our meeting. Here's this email that we were talking about if you want to send in feedback or contact us at all. In that matter, I'm listed here and so is Tom. But when we talk about the bylaws, they're going to be under our resources. I'm taking quite a bit of time here reorganizing this, so bear with me. I haven't gone here for a little bit myself, but we've got, here we go. Although it says delete me, So you can tell it's still a work in process. I'm gonna click here anyway, because I think these might be the final bylaws. I don't know that we actually need to delete this. I want to click on it. Here we go. Sorry, folks, a lot of back and forth, as you can imagine, since we upgraded the webpage, just trying to get everything where it needs to be. But so I think these are the last bylaws that we do have. So you'll see our process for elections. This is for officers, elected officers and duties. So we have the descriptions here. Should you be interested in running? And then in a moment, I can also put the call to nominations form actually up for a point of reference too.
Perfect. Thank you.
No problem. I'm going to stop sharing this right now, though, so I can pull up the thing.
Oh, how funny. It says delete.me.
Yeah, you know what? We ended up, when they upgraded the webpage, there was a lot of old stuff, and then there was a lot of missing things. So it's taken quite a bit of work to get it up and running again. So there you go. Real time here.
Thank you for bearing with us, everyone, as we migrate yet through another. This is personally my second round of website updates for San Diego Unified, and we've hit snags most of the time when we go through it, but I just ask that everybody, if you have old contacts and you need to ask questions, feel free and send emails. Generally the ones to your principal are best, or Mary, yours is M Johnson 8?
Yeah. That's a few of us, yeah.
I knew the other M Johnson who was one, and I think that's why I get you confused. So mjohnson8@sandy.net. Yeah. If we have like crazy, if you can't find anything, I'm sorry.
I'll help you out. Yeah,
sorry. Throwing you out there, but I'm having a hard time pulling the bylaws up on my computer, but
I put them back up.
Do you mind? Thank you.
So I'm sorry.
That it's trying to pull up a PDF. That would probably be why.
Do you want to do it, or do you want me to put it up?
Oh, I've got it. I'll go ahead and read it. So we are establishing a election committee. So we need at least 3 volunteers to volunteer. Essentially to count votes. And as we are still navigating the world of Zoom and how we are voting, this will again be another learning curve. Mm-hmm. So we will be, as Mary's team and the executive team will be trying to figure out how we can make this work best. In order to
elect, I think we'll do it with a poll. And
okay.
I believe we can set the poll up. Excuse me, allergies. I think we can set the poll up so you can see who's voted, and that way we can confirm that you're a member of the DAC and have the ability to vote, the permission to vote.
Excellent. And so that's why at this point, we really want to make sure that everybody's getting their rosters turned in, because as we vote, we want to make sure that your site is eligible to vote. And in order to be eligible to vote, you need to have your name on a valid roster. A valid roster means that it has been filled with an equal number of parents, an equal number of staff members, which means there's parity, and that it's been signed by your SSC chair, whoever has been elected as your SSC chair after recent elections. So again, if you didn't see your name, make sure that you're letting your principal know that the FPMA office hasn't received your roster. So we do a election every year for officers. And this year we have chair, vice chair, and second vice chair up for election, and tonight is a call for nominations, which will be coming up next. But I would love to see three volunteers, and I see some people in the chat, and I'm looking for some volunteers to assist. I only need three of you, and the first three to volunteer will be extremely appreciated and will win bragging rights for the rest of the DAC, that you were able to count the votes for our next election. So I will go ahead and I see what are we supposed to do?
Zach? We've got two.
I've got three. I see Anne and I see April. Thank you. Literally all you need to do is be present at our next meeting. So the November meeting, which is the third Wednesday of the month. And I believe, is that different because of
Thanksgiving? Standard. And we can talk about it a little bit more too, because really the reality of it is it might be a little less labor intensive than it has been in the past.
Exactly. Because we're doing this virtually and electronically, so our voting is a little bit easier. I very much appreciate everybody who's putting their volunteer and their name in there. I appreciate, we'll be in contact, and I'm writing your names down right now.
I'll share the chat with you too, so we have it all.
Thank you. And so we have wonderful volunteer members who will be helping us, and all you need to do is confer with Mary. Will be able to share the poll with you for the election next month, and we'll have to maybe do a breakout room for you to chat and count those, or at least the poll will give you instant results.
Yeah, so we'll review. It might not take a whole lot of effort.
Excellent. And so Fatiha, I see you there. Thank you so much. I see everybody in the chat. So thank you very much for assisting. And we will contact you all by email to let you know, just to confirm that you're on the election committee and that you'll be helping us next month. And really, it's just because we need three independent members to be able to confirm the votes and be able to bring that back to the body to be able to explain it. It just needs to not be anybody who's running for a chair or a position, and just that, you know, unbiased third party. And we ask that three people do it just so we have extra eyes. So thank you so much. We don't need anybody who's familiar with software or anything like that, but I very much appreciate all of the offers for help. Sorry, my daughter had
to. I can share my screen now to share the call to nominations document.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Actually, right. I wanted to show you, I've got it loaded in the chat. So I'm just going to click on it here. If you haven't by chance tested this yet, it'll be a good exercise. Let me move this all the way down. This actually takes you straight to Board Docs, where everything we have lives as well. So we've got it in English or Spanish. I'm going to click on English. Excellent. There you go.
Thank you.
Requirements.
So these are our call to nominations. And normally in a normal meeting, we would allow someone who is wanting to run for chairperson to stand up and provide 2 minutes to talk about themselves or why they want to run. We would allow each person running for each of the three positions to do the same. If there is anybody who would like to run for either the chair position, as a chair position, you, according to our bylaws, you need to have been a rep for the DAC for a minimum of 2 years. And the duties are as shown. You would be acting on the behalf of the DAC, representing the DAC on any committees that the board creates, and acting as leader and guide for the agenda and the executive team and all of the leading of the meetings and signing any sort of, there isn't really much to sign as chair of the DAC, but really work with the liaison for the FPMA office and work as kind of a contact person as well for all of the DAC representatives. The first vice chairperson needs to have served on the DAC for a minimum of 1 year. So if this is your first year, that would not qualify you. You could all definitely run as the second vice chair. The second vice chair is a great way to get kind of onto the executive team and just kind of get a little bit of education as far as what we do and what goes into being on the executive team, and also just what it means to be the support networking system for SSCs. So if everybody wants to take a peek at that, I think at this point, nominations can also be accepted via email. So if you'd like to send an email to dac.sdusd@gmail.com, you can also put your nomination in the chat if you'd like. Or if you have a nomination and would like to be heard, please let us know in the chat and we can unmute you so you can speak. Don't all stand up at once. I know it's very exciting. I myself am the first vice chair and have held the position of chair for about 4 years. And then beforehand was also first vice chair and second vice chair. So there's lots of ways to move up and around and just be a part of the process. I see Denise asked if we could talk a little bit more about second vice chair duties. Really, second vice chair duties are really a support. You are there as a position to be an elected position on the DAC. So you'd be an elected officer and would come to each of the DAC executive meetings, which are held the first Wednesday of the month. And as of now, on Zoom. So, there's very little drive time, and you can participate in the executive team meetings. You represent the DAC as far as the board is concerned, as far as different committees. The chair might appoint you to head a committee. Sometimes the second vice chair is also tasked with maybe tracking attendance, various things, but really it is a support role. And it's also a good opportunity if you are a brand new DAC representative and would like to get the opportunity to be on the executive team and be a part of the agenda setting and the conversation at that higher level. This is a good opportunity for you to get in without having had any previous DAC experience. The executive team meets the first Wednesday of the month. And at 6:30, pretty much it's, you know, 2 weeks prior to the general DAC meeting. And so that gives us enough time to get an agenda set. Generally, we meet with one of the district offices or departments that wants to present and kind of give them a sense of what the DAC would really like to hear, and try to take a 30-minute presentation and whittle it down to 10 minutes. And it's a great time to just really get a sense of how this all works. So it's a great learning experience for many people. And it was a great learning experience for me many, many years ago. And I believe I started there and worked my way up to chair. So I encourage everyone to get involved. We volunteer for a reason. We volunteer for our kids. I'm here for my kids. I'm not just here for my kids. I'm here for your kids. And so I hope that other people want to take the opportunity. I am actually not going to be running for an executive position this year because my work role has taken me away. So I know we don't have our fearless leader, Debbie Hamilton, here this evening either. So I would like to let everyone know that we do have all positions open this year, and we would greatly appreciate any volunteers. Please go ahead and send us an email or put it to us in the chat. Thank you so much. And so any nominations, we'll take from the floor. I understand this is a weird year, and as the fact that we're not in person, it makes it a little more challenging for us to take nominations from the floor. And so I don't know how we're gonna be able to work that if we don't have any nominations for this evening, but I do know we cannot go on without anyone in these executive positions. So we might have to leave it to an email. Mary, you might be able to give us a little more advice on that.
Did you see the message I sent you also?
Yes.
Okay. I think that we can accept email nominations this year, as long as we can validate that they're coming from a member of an approved SSC, so they are valid DAC members. So we could, and that gives a little bit of time also, since we're still probably, even after, we might even be receiving rosters right now as the meeting's going on. So we can extend that as long as we're able to validate who it's coming from. Yeah. I think that'll help us to be able to conduct our business a little bit more easily given our circumstances. As far as a deadline, I think that we'll meet as an executive board the first Wednesday of the month, and we can review the feedback that we've gotten at that point in time and make a further decision as far as a deadline to receive that information and then communicate it to the field.
Perfect. And I do have one potential nomination that we'll be sending in their email. Denise Rogers, thank you very much. I wish we could have a second vice chair, as it is a big district, but we are bound by our bylaws, sir. I appreciate your offer. And I do want to let you know that our executive team is made up of not just our three elected officers. It's also made up of volunteers that stand up to be included in our executive team. We can have up to 10 members. So I'm writing your name down, sir. That is Mr. Carrasco. And we will be confirming everybody's rosters to make sure that everybody is on a valid roster before we move forward with nominations and such. So I encourage everybody to send in their nominations, and I guess we'll be following up with everybody after the next executive meeting.
Send out a special communication. Yeah.
Yep. So stay tuned, everybody. Make sure we have your email addresses. All right. That's always the most nerve-wracking part every year. All right, people. If we can go ahead and move on. We are running about 15 minutes behind, so I want to make sure that we are keeping your time in mind. And I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to Ms. Pamela King, who's going to give us some family engagement news.
So Pam, you're muted right now, but I've got you with co-host permissions. If you want to share your screen, or if you want me to do something, I can do.
I have it. Thank you, Mary. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to try to get to this as quickly as possible. I have so many screens open, so many things open, but just bear with me. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here with you and to give you updates. To hear all the wonderful news that's going on in the district. And so I'm Pamela King, the Family Engagement Program Manager. I'm joined tonight by my supervisor, Ms. Teresa Boskowski, as well as one of our resource teachers, Ms. Madeline Leventon. So thank you for having us. I always like to start off with our commitment to one another. And we're all equal stakeholders, whether you're an educator, parent, community member, grandparent, sharing the responsibilities of educating our children. So we are working together to ensure students achieve, and that we're partnering and building our trust and relationships for student achievement. So that's what we're grounded in. And then last month, I shared with you our org chart, the members of our team. And since then, we actually have made an upgrade to the website. And I tell you, we're in progress of adding those office hours. So the link is being shared in the chat with you. It's taking forever. But what you will see once it comes on, you'll see our team. And then we also have the office hours of our team. So you'll be able to call someone to speak with them. If you have a question, or if they're not able to, they can direct you into the right area if you have questions that are not pertaining to our line of work. So this is not coming up, so I'm going to go back, but it's taking longer, and I know that we are pressed for time. So I'm going to go back out of here, but that link is shared on our family engagement website. Okay, so I'll get out of here. And so you'll see our team members for the Family Engagement Department. And then I wanted to give you updates from our Family Engagement Department. Last week we had our first Parents as Partners session. We talked about the phase one apartment-based online learning, and we had many participants on there. We gave the district information that was presented at the board meeting. However, we also got the input. We received questions, wonderings, and concerns from the attendees. And I just wanted to assure and inform the attendees that we have those questions. We're currently working on responding to those questions. And once they are completed, we'll put the FAQ on the family engagement website. So we're in the process of working and answering all of the questions that were posed during that time to our best ability. The next workshop that we have, or the session, will be November the 4th. They're all from 5:30 to 6:45. This information is also on our family engagement website. Next, we have a series of workshops around internet safety that the family engagement resource teachers will be offering starting next week. There will be a 3-week series. So we have class workshops Mondays and on Thursdays. Here are the times. So the same workshop would be shown for that week. So session one will be presented on that Monday and that Thursday. And then for the next week, you'll have a new topic. And then the final week, you'll have an additional topic. So those are the times that we have available. Those are live sessions that can be accessed on our family engagement website. So I'm gonna try this way, because I tried to have a direct link, and let's see if it all goes well. I have my hotspot next to me and I have my fingers crossed. So again, it's not working. And that is in our, my supervisor has put that link in the chat. I'll go to the next. Now I want to share some district resources with you. So we have the food services, and we still have, I think it's 80, maybe 81, 82 locations. These are the current times, but they've added a schedule for extra food box. So where you have the Feeding America come in, so you'll know which date and which site that's nearest to you, that you could pick up that extra, the extra can, not the shelf items and produce items. They have those as well. Still have our technology support. And we want to encourage you to really look at the parent learning menu, because a lot of the technology concerns and inquiries could be addressed with the parent learning menu. They have all the platforms, how to navigate those platforms. And it's available, I think, in 6 or 7 different languages. So I want to make sure that that you have access to that immediately. And then now we have the online priority choice application period. The enrollment guide that would be placed also in the chat for you, but here's the date for that. And then we have free flu shots that are being given by the San Diego Health and Human Services. And so they're hosting 6 free flu clinics across the county starting tomorrow. Walk-ins are welcome, and they're available for 6 months old and up. So that information, the flyer, will be put in English and Spanish in the chat as well. And then I want to say thank you, and we want to say thank you so much, because I hope you heard the great news, but the census was 99.9% completed. So thank you for getting the word out to everyone. That is just going to be so much for our schools and our communities, hospitals, and helping our programs at community centers. So thank you for your support. And as always, we appreciate what you do for our families, and we appreciate your insight, your voice, and your partnering with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
I think I seem to be frozen, but you know, that's a good look for me. I hope that's the thing. That's the look you're all seeing. thank you, Pamela. I am checking out the chat. We've got lots of stuff in there. The enrollment guide is there. And we also have our technology support. Please, I think it's fantastic that we are able to do the free flu shots. Please pass that on to your stakeholders in your school site, in your community. And next up, we have Miss Deirdre Walsh. Is Deirdre with us?
You know what, Susie? She's not. So I can go over what we discussed at the executive meeting in preparation for this. As I'm reading it, just reviewing it from our last meeting, it's pretty straightforward. So I'll apologize ahead of time, everyone. There is going to be a little bit of just reading to you, but then I'll share my review as we go. So basically, this is a presentation regarding charter school application renewals, the process in doing so. So recently, Assembly Bill AB 1505 was signed by Governor Newsom, actually last October. And as of July 1st, 2020, there were significant changes, which you'll see in bold in the body of this document, that were made to the charter authorization and process, following provisions as codified by California statute. While the legislature approved these new criteria, they did not define or more specific information on factors to be considered under each of the criteria. So as a result, each charter authorizing entity must determine what factors to consider. So basically what that means is that each district needs to build a definition for these new terms that were passed into law in October. Ed Code 47605C provides that the governing board of the school district shall grant a charter of the operation of a school if it's satisfied that granting the charter is consistent with sound educational practice and with the interests of the community in which the school is proposing to locate. The governing board of the school district is also required to consider the academic needs of the pupils the school proposes to serve. One of the big ideas here is that we're not going to be, for lack of a better term, oversaturating an area with schools when there's already a neighborhood school that fulfills the needs of the community. So looking to see that the focus of the school is something different and provides a choice in a sense. So education code, let's see, 47605C. Section 7 provides that a charter petition may be denied if the charter school is demonstrably unlikely to serve the interests of the entire community in which the schools is proposing to locate. Analysis of this finding shall include consideration of the fiscal impact of the proposed charter. So how expensive is it going to be to have that charter there? Is it going to be a drain on the resources? Just all those factors. Analysis of this finding shall include consideration of the fiscal impact of the proposed charter school. Okay, a written factual finding under this paragraph should detail specific facts and circumstances that analyze and consider the following factors. So we've got two main points: the extent to which the proposed charter school would substantially undermine existing services, academic offerings, or programmatic offerings. So is this something new or different? Does this serve a need that isn't currently being fulfilled? The second point is whether the proposed charter school would duplicate a program currently offered within the school district and the existing program has sufficient capacity for the pupils proposed to be served within reasonable proximity to where the charter school intends to locate. Again, is it going to fulfill the needs of the community? So on July 28th of 2020, this summer, SDUSD board adopted a resolution requiring the superintendent to bring forward this bill within 90 days. So the board requested the implementation plan includes stakeholder input, which is why it's here. And the stakeholder input is really here on this next page. I'm going to scroll here. And I'm going to put this in the chat as well. It's also on in the DAC document page that the chat takes you to, that link that takes you to. If you can answer these questions, these survey questions, this will be part of the feedback that we've gathered in multiple venues throughout the district as required by law. So for example, they're just asking how many students that you have in the district.
Mary, can I interrupt you for a second? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
Your sound is a little muffled, so would you mind just turning off your video for a minute to see if that...
No problem.
Thank you. I hear you all out there on the chat, so okay. Hopefully this will be a little better. Okay. I had to do the same thing for mine. My audio was having a hard time.
Okay. And actually, I do, as I glance over to the chat myself right now, too, I haven't had a chance to post this yet, I don't think, but I'll just do it again anyway.
So basically what they're coming to us because the state has not identified or they haven't defined certain terms. Right. And so if you see on your screen, you'll see the term community. You'll see the term programmatic impact. You'll see fiscal impact, reasonable proximity, academic needs. So these are terms that the state has also not been able to define. And in terms of when you're going out and you're doing questionnaires or surveys, thanks for making that bigger.
There you go.
When you're going out and surveying a population, you need to operationalize certain terms. You need to make sure that people understand what you mean by community when you're asking how they would define it. So when they're asking whether or not it fits in with your community. So these questions, and I'm sorry, Mary, to jump in, but great. These questions are... This is a survey that is being sent to families that send their children to charter schools. They're also being sent to, I believe, principals. And again, we have our poll. So, and we have our poll ready, Mary.
Actually, this isn't something that we're going to do with the poll. The link, they can actually, it's like a live link. So if they go to this document, they'll be able to, where it says, like, for example, with item number 5, click or tap here to enter text, they'll actually be able to do it there.
Perfect. So, and I do have a question from the chat. Will those operational definitions be included in the survey itself? No, see, this is the problem. They have not defined these terms. The state has not defined these. So they are leaving it up to every district, every LEA, local education agency, to define these terms themselves, which leaves us parents and principals a lot of work to do, because this is not necessarily our strong suit. I mean, not everybody is a statistician or a questionnaire expert. So all of these questions come from, actually, Mary, remind me where these questions come from.
The charter office created the survey.
So the charter office is asking for us to answer these questions. Now, this survey originally was just going to be directed to certain people, but we felt it was important to bring it to the DAC because we're getting a different demographic. We are not parents that have sent our children to charter schools. We all are representatives of public school SSCs. So it's important for us to provide that experience and that background to these questions. So they're a little strange for us parents who are going the public school route, but our school district, our Board of Education, they're the ones who authorize these charters to exist. Some of these charters exist on school sites. So if you are a parent at Limburg Schweitzer, for example, you have a charter school on your site. There are a couple of other schools in San Diego Unified with the same situation. So really, we want to make sure we get all stakeholders feedback, and I'm hoping I'm answering questions in the chat.
And I'm Teresa,
help us explain. So I hope, Teresa, thank you for your offer, if you can help me.
Hi, we are all kind of in this together. So I just want to give a little bit of context.
This comes from a Senate bill, and I know you kind of alluded to it earlier, Mary. It's 1508, I believe, or 1505, something like 1505, that.
1505, yeah.
1505. And in this bill, it actually gives our stakeholders a voice in the impacts that charter schools may have, and they can be on a coexisting site or a new charter starting up. This gives us, I would say, the opportunity to help define some terms that are used. And so the survey is actually helpful for our, not only our district charter teams, but also our site leaders. When we have an extension of a charter school, meaning adding grades or a new charter school, there are certain impacts that it has. I know that we don't want to have, we want to have definitions, and I don't recall which ones you read, Mary, but there are certain definitions. Is it in that document that you shared?
No problem, I can pull it back up. I'm just trying to get a document loaded for them that they can actually type into. So that's why I took it off the screen, sorry.
Okay. So basically this is your opportunity to discuss your thoughts on and give input regarding charter schools. And you don't have to necessarily be at a school that that shares a campus. It just can be helping us define some terminology and, you know, your feelings as a parent of San Diego Unified. You may have firsthand knowledge or not, but it is an opportunity for you to voice your thoughts about this particular area. So I don't know if I shed any more light, but that's what Deidre was here to do, is use this survey to gather information from our families.
And I've got a new link, everyone. Thanks for noticing that and trying to use it. One moment.
And I saw another question in the chat regarding the impact that charters have. That's just, I appreciate your question. You'll definitely have to do a little research on your end, because that's unfortunately not the purview of the DAC. So we can't provide that information. And the woman who would have been here this evening to answer our questions, she would be the one who I believe would give us that answer. Yeah. Is it possible for us to share her email address?
I can do that. And I will,
So I know we're still trying to get
I just accidentally sent it only to Chris. Let me try that again. This will go to everybody. Okay, here's the survey. I can put, we'll certainly send the chat to Deidre, but I can also share her email address in the link in just a moment here in the chat momentarily.
Thank you.
Can everyone see the new survey link while I'm doing this?
I see that link and I'm clicking on it and I see, implementation. So the lovely board docs, implementation plan questions.
Yeah.
We're looking for the Word doc.
Yes.
Okay. So click on the Word doc and not the, although on your phone, it might be a little tricky, but all right. And so if you are able to download the Word doc, please go ahead and do that. Then you can go ahead and edit on there and then just send it back to, where should we have everybody send it, Mary?
I'm putting Deidre's email address in right now.
Perfect. So I see Chris had that question. Chris, you'll see that there. And then I have a question. How long will the survey be available for parents and schools personnel to share their response? Teresa, do you know when they're actually, I know that we have a charter schools meeting coming up tomorrow with the board, but this is not being addressed tomorrow, is it?
No, it is not being addressed tomorrow. I believe they have, I'm trying to think back in my notes.
And I think December.
There's a couple weeks. I think we had 90 days for this to go through, but this actually initiated in July and they had to put together a bunch of things. So I think it's coming down to the wire. So I think they have a couple, you know, I would say a good week for sure. But definitely Deidre would be able to answer that.
And that's fine. Our timing, we always run up against timing because the Board of Education has to go through a first read and a second read. And the second read is typically the vote. So yes, the survey should be shared out. Please take the link that you are provided and send it to your SSC members. This is a habit that I've gotten into over the past 10 years that I have been serving on an SSC. Every time I get the DAC agenda and any attachments, which at this point are all conveniently located at a Board Docs link, you can send that directly to your SSC members. I hope you all have their email addresses. If you do not, please ask your principal to share that with you. And just send a quick email to everybody so they see what's going on at the DAC. The principal gets an opportunity to get that information. And then everyone can think about it, bring it in as I give everybody homework. I was an SSC chair for years and I assign homework. But really share this. It's not often we get asked for this, to provide this type of feedback. Can any parent take the charter school impact survey? Of course. I think it's important that you ask for feedback. As an SSC representative, you are representing your school site. So I hope you are sharing the information you learn here with your cluster. I wish we could send it in an email. So please take the link from the chat. And I really wish we could put everything into a nice, neat little package, but that is unfortunately what we ask you to do for your school sites. Please let's do our due diligence and send this information on, because our district really does need to know how we want to identify and define these different issues or these different topics, like community. How do you define a community? It's going to be different depending on where your school site is and what community and cluster you live in. So please give us your feedback, because that's the only way our district is going to know. And every school site's different. So please just pass it along to your SSC members. Make sure you tag it as an agenda item, or just utilize it, share it in your DAC share out at every agenda, every meeting. If you do not have a DAC share out item on your agenda, please make sure that you do have that on your agenda, that your principal is allowing you the space and time to share information that you are learning here. It's the only mechanism that we have for communicating these things. So I don't want to keep us too much longer. Do we have anything else to share, Teresa or Mary, on the charter school survey?
I don't.
You covered it all, and you're right. We did get feedback from principals as well, both principals who have charter schools and share a campus, and those who do not. So this is, we're really trying to seek input and help define this. And it really is a wonderful opportunity for our district, I think, to have a say in. So I hope that families take advantage of this. It's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. And we do have a question about whether or not these surveys are available in other languages.
You can check with Deidre about that and then maybe have them posted somewhere. Maybe the family engagement website might be a place where we can house them if she has.